This episode brought to you by Audible! Audibletrial.com/horror version for 30 days free and a book to get you started. For your book recommendation,
it's Jen.
Somebody? Jen.
It's me, yeah. Hey guys, today I am recommending What Dreams May Come by Richard Matheson.
Awesome. So check out What Dreams May Come by Robin Williams on Audible.
Did you say Wet Dreams May Come? Because that's the fan fiction version.
Ooh.
And I would advise against it.
This episode also brought to you by Nick B.
What up, Nick B?
Nick B's fun fact of the week. He makes his own marinara sauce.
How do you do that?
The fuck if I know.
Squash tomatoes and you put oregano and I almost said potatoes. That's potato sauce.
You know what, Jen?
What?
I'm just going to ask Nick B.
No. Hey, Nick B, how do you make your marinara sauce?
Ooh.
Whoa.
So, John developed a device to connect to mattresses.
Hmm.
Oh, God.
Oh my, it's like the porn version of the flux capacitor.
Is it just to vibrate them?
No.
Wait, is it like bed knobs and broomsticks?
No.
I love that movie so much. Yes.
Think darker.
Team chair.
Yes.
But darker?
Yeah.
Oh.
It sucks in people like Johnny Depp in this movie.
Like blenders?
Yeah. But what they needed is stuff to come out. So what he had to do, John went back in time to a mattress distributor.
Right.
Okay.
To connect these devices. They're time travel portal devices on the mattresses.
So it's like Stargate, but for beds?
Yes.
Nice.
And he attached the devices onto these random beds to kill people.
What?
Well, what he would do was...
He would open up portals to blender dimensions?
No, it's worse.
It's worse than that?
Yeah.
How is it worse?
I don't know.
He's got a warehouse in 2019. Okay, this is where the portals go.
Okay.
Right, okay, so the portals bring you to now.
Yeah, but he had to send this episode brought to you by Michael to the Red Cross.
That why?
To steal the blood.
Yeah. To put in the beds?
Yes.
Oh,
so what?
Why?
Because one, blood shortages, John gets off on that.
Oh, yeah. He's super into it.
That's
yeah.
Really...
And two, when those young people get sucked into their mattresses, something has to come out from the future.
Oh, so it doesn't kill them. He's just planting the blood there so it looks like they've been killed.
It's a bloodbed booby trap?
It is.
It's a bloodbed booby trap.
It's a bloodbed booby trap diversion.
Oh. Yeah. Where do the people go?
I'm glad you asked. He has them in a warehouse. They're making iPhones.
What? John owns Foxconn?
It's a subsidiary.
Oh, that makes sense.
Subsidiary?
Yeah. He owns Johnco.
Johnco. Subsidiary.
It's an evil corporation that he's using to make money to do nefarious plans.
It's a part of the Shinehart Wig Corporation.
Yeah. So Michael had to go. Michael had to go to the Red Cross, and he stole all the good blood. Cody Roy. This episode brought to you by Cody Roy. Cody Roy is one of his like jobs. And
yeah.
His Bronco has like the time continuum monitor.
It's called a flux capacitor.
Yeah. He's not time traveling. He's got the wave monitor of the changes in the timeline.
Okay.
So he was like, oh, fuck, something happened. These people are disappearing from the 80s.
So is he like Rhonda out in Tremors, like just wave watching, like with a bunch of clocks?
Yeah, he's got shit to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he has like.
Yeah, Jen, keep up.
He lights his Roman candle, the special Roman candle that calls him. This episode brought to you by Matthew.
Right. So Matthew parasails down on his umbrella.
So anyway, Matthew's like, fuck, I got to go back in time.
He does.
He goes back in time and he sends Cody Roy to find out where these kids are, but they don't find them.
But no, because they've been taken to the future,
they've
right?
They've been taken to the future.
To make iPhones.
Yeah.
See, I pay attention, Jen.
Uh-huh. John gets away with it this week.
What?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's a dot, dot, dot to be continued?
Yeah.
It's almost like Mikey ran out of brain juice.
I know. But
I have a question.
Yeah.
If Matthew is back in time, how did he get there?
The umbrella travels through time.
You're breaking your own rules, Mikey.
It's established that the umbrella travels through time. We've already established that in previous episodes.
I don't think we
have. Oh, no, fuck, we have. Yeah, you're right. Holy shit.
The potatoes.
And the great potato caper.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Stay tuned next week.
Honestly, I really just want to see if Mikey remembers where they are. When next we record.
Because it's like 2 weeks from now.
This episode also brought to you by Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca. Who wants eye contact?
It's always me.
But it's like I like to offer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
how we get it. That's part of his process, Todd.
So Christmas is coming up.
Uh-oh. Oh, it is.
Hey, Rebecca.
Rebecca?
Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Woo!
Hey, Rebecca.
I love how we fucking shit on each other whenever we misspeak. It rarely makes the episode, but it makes my day.
Like, we just twirl our mustaches and like jump on. It's fun.
Hey, Rebecca, can I take a picture of you?
No.
So Santa knows what I want for Christmas?
No.
I like it. I like it.
I mean, I did like that you asked for consent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a great Christmas gift, check out Straight On Tell Disney on Etsy and get yourself some Disney ears so your kids don't get some Disney tears. This episode also brought to you by
Carl. Did Carl write anything delightful on any walls?
Carl used to write Halloween puns during the month of October.
I request that Carl writes Thanksgiving puns now.
Oh, I would love to see Carl write some Thanksgiving puns.
I challenge you, Carl.
Yeah, do it. So Carl also teaches local youths how to play guitar. And if you want to watch Carl play video games, check out twitch.tv/CarlosMOL.
Yeah, and join the Facebook group because if he is writing turkey puns, then
that's where you'll see him.
Yeah.
Should we bring in the theme music?
I think we should all go to sleep and then the theme music will come.
The theme music is going to meet us here in exactly 20 minutes.
Yeah, we just got to go to sleep. All right,
and we have to do conservatively 4 hours of work in 10 minutes and then set our timer
for 10
minutes.
Okay, all right, you guys ready? My toilet got stopped up for the first time I've lived in this condo.
Really?
Yeah.
You lived there forever.
Yeah, I know. It's over 2 years. So
is that because you mainly poop when you come here?
Welcome to the horror version, everybody.
Even tell my story.
I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror version, Todd, which means I don't like scary movies, and you guys make me watch them. And this week, you guys made me watch the 1984 Johnny Depp, Wes Craven masterpiece slasher,
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
You already said
it.
God.
All right. Have you guys seen this movie before?
I have.
Nice.
It's been a while.
Yeah, so, I haven't seen it in a while either.
Okay. I mean, I've never seen it. It's obviously very, very old. When do you think you first saw it?
I don't remember the first time I saw this.
So, Mikey, do you know when you first saw this movie?
No, like when I was like a kid or something.
Oh, okay. So it's like one of those you've grown up with.
Yeah, I don't remember the first time I watched it. It must have been probably when I was in college, I think.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty late. I mean, since it's been pretty much your entire life.
Mine was probably middle school or high school. But I remember the sequel. I've seen the sequels a lot more.
Okay.
Because they're dumber and like sillier and goofier. Yeah.
I've heard that about a lot of movie franchises. Like they get more and more silly the more and more they go on.
Yeah, like Fast and the Furious.
Family. I just wrote a Fast and Furious script. I got the first 30 pages right there.
We forgot the part where they drive out of an airplane or something. God.
All right. So what did you guys think about it when you first saw it? Like, was it a movie you've liked and you wanted to go back and watch again? Or is it like one you saw and you forgot about?
I don't remember.
You forgot about it.
It's one of those that, like, it's a classic slasher, and I love slashers. And I remember thinking it was a little silly the first time I watched it, and that I liked, like, Jason more. But
it
I like
silly.
It.
Like, Jason's a little tongue in cheek.
You mean Freddy?
Shit. Yeah, it is a little silly. Like, Freddy's a little tongue in cheek.
Or tongue and phone.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Gross.
But yeah, I liked it a lot more tonight when I watched it.
Yeah.
I think I liked it the most that I've ever liked.
And I know you like Nancy as a final girl
because she's
on the shirt you're wearing right now.
Yeah. Hey, guys, if you want your very own final girl shirt, go
check out the merch store.
www.horrorvirgin.com.
Designed by Jen Ferratu.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she just told me what to put in Photoshop. But it was super.
It was a collaboration. The last time that I watched this, I wasn't really paying attention to horror and like the elements, and I didn't really know much about Final Girls and like horror theory, and so I didn't pick up a lot of the stuff that makes me really like this movie.
Okay.
So I saw a lot more of that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say she is a go get 'em Final Girl.
I really liked it. Yeah. Like, Jen, this is the first time I think I've really appreciated it.
Yeah.
I still hated the ending.
Yeah, so I feel the same way. Like,
because I think she's a great final girl, but the ending kind of undercuts that.
Yeah, I get why she's one of the final girls, right? Because she's like sort of badass, especially at the very end.
Yeah.
And on no sleep, she's like going after the murderer, right? So that's kind of cool. But the end it sucks.
And I actually wrote a blog about the evolution of final girls through movies, and she's kind of in the middle. But there are things that I really like about the ending, and we'll get there when we'll talk about it when we get there. But yeah, the ending
isn't that the convertible top is Freddy's shirt.
I missed that.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. No, I mean, we'll talk about it. There are things that I really like about Nancy specifically and the ending of this movie. But
he's over here like, it was. So let's get into this fucking movie, guys.
All right. So we start with a little play that I'm going to reenact for you guys, because the opening credits start. And if you've seen the movie, you know that it does not take up the full screen. And so Todd says,
oh shit, I forgot about this part. I don't know if I want this to be on the podcast.
So we've got Freddy's like making his glove in like a window on the screen.
Yeah, it's like picture in picture. Like it's
really small.
It's dumb.
Yeah. Todd, does it get bigger than this? Because I am not doing this. Mikey, that's what she said. And then they all started dancing jigs. Singing, doing a song and dance routine to "Hello, my baby, hello, my honey." And I'm not kidding. That's what happened. They were so proud of themselves.
Full disclosure, I did get up and dance a jig out of the room.
It was really funny. You guys were really proud of yourselves.
Guys, stand by it.
I mean, listen, Mikey, it was a banger of a joke.
It was a very well-timed, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, you are the Michael Scott of this podcast, for sure.
I'm just glad you appreciate my art.
Art is a stretch. Oh, can I just say this?
Uh-huh.
These credits are awesome.
Uh-oh.
Because they start the movie, mm-hmm. and the movie is going while the credits play.
Yeah, okay, so when it's the small box,
yeah,
the credits are on the bottom. Oh, Jen! It was a trick, and you fell for it.
Right, boys. Well done, Mikey.
Yes!
We got her.
Take her away.
What has happened to Team Chair?
Now it's Team... Oh, he's moving to the couch.
I can't get over to the couch, but if I could, guys, if we had better equipment, I could easily move to Team Couch.
So, like, there's credits on the bottom, Freddy's making his claws,
right.
And then it expands, yes. and the credits on the bottom, the movie's mm-hmm. going on, we're like, fuck, these are good credits.
Yeah, they're good because the movie's also going.
They don't even have to explode because other stuff is happening.
Yeah, they don't have to explode.
Or be in 3D.
No. No, but we're following, is it Tina?
It's Tina. So we see Freddy making his glove, and then this is really cool, especially once we know what happens later in the movie. His claws come through like a white sheet.
Yeah.
And like rip down, and then we see Tina's face right against the white sheet, and she's wandering through a
sort of like
a dripping hallway.
Yeah, it honestly looks like a long tunnel that goes up to like a stadium.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
With lots of pipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With lots of pipes, it's really wet in that tight, tight tunnel.
Nope. But she does see a goat running down this hall.
She does. Why is there a goat in her dream?
Because it's creepy. They should have done more weird, creepy stuff like this.
It didn't make any sense, and it didn't really like. Is it her dream?
Maybe it's a sheep, and she's counting the sheep.
Actually, I would have liked that, but it was clearly a goat.
Yeah, man.
It was real bad.
They couldn't get any jokes.
No. Thank you, Mikey.
I wanted more weird stuff. I like how Freddy likes to fuck with people in the chase. And
oh, yeah, it's all about the chase for Freddy. Once Freddy gets you, he's over it.
Yeah.
Just like Mikey.
Yeah. Ah, we really connected.
Anyway, what happens in this dream? Because Tina doesn't die. She just has a bad dream.
No, yeah, yeah. So she's hearing laughing, and she's seeing
she must be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, if you're not laughing, you're not picturing the goat. She's seeing the glove like scraping the knife fingers on a pipe.
Yeah.
And then she backs up to a furnace that's like flaming behind her. And then Freddy's right behind her and grabs her. And then she starts screaming and wakes up.
Yes.
Also, Tina can get it.
You think?
Yeah. I really liked her nightgown because it looked very comfortable.
It looked very see-through, which Mikey talked about multiple times throughout this movie.
Wait,
Mikey confirmed friend of Ramon.
No.
So she wakes up, and then her mom walks in with her makeup smeared all over her face.
Oh, yeah.
And a boyfriend comes in and kisses the mom goodbye. But while mom's standing there.
Not kiss the mom goodbye.
No, kisses the mom to try to entice her back to bed.
Yeah, he literally says, now come back to bed.
Do you think those were happy smears or sad smears?
I think she's currently living out her rock bottom, and she's telling herself those are happy smears. Those are sad tears.
Yeah.
She needs some Disney ears.
Yeah, she does.
I don't want to connect Rebecca to this.
You just did it.
Rebecca's amazing.
You fall into the trap again, Jen.
But so she's at her mom's asking her if she's okay, and then she looks down and she sees that she's got rips on the stomach of her nightgown.
Mikey was real excited about it. He was like, "Ooh, I like it even more now."
Yeah. And then he found out she was 15.
And then he immediately backpedaled on every comment he had ever made ever about Tina and her nightgown.
This movie overly sexualized her for that age. Let me just talk about that.
I think we should blame the movie for sure.
Because it isn't thrown out she's 15 until later, okay? So, like, I feel disgusting.
But so her mom saying, you should cut your fingernails. And this is the first parent we see dismissing things that are happening.
Yeah, how would you rip through your nightgown just because you had long fingernails?
I don't know.
That seems insane to me.
But that does seem insane.
The mom is trapped in a haze of amore.
It's honestly the haze of her rock bottom.
There really are not a lot of functioning, well-functioning parents in this movie.
No, there are not. It's a lot like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You just never see parents.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it, like, once we learn more about the story, I think that's probably a little bit of the reason why these parents are a little
messed up. Well, yeah, because the parents got together and murdered somebody, and now they're trying not to remember it. So they're drinking, or they're having sex with really gross men or whatever, trying to live out their...
They're trying to forget that like a bunch of kids in their neighborhood got murdered also. Like maybe their own
like
children.
Like 20 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I think it makes sense that these parents are not handling it very well.
Yeah, that makes sense. So anyway, she wakes up. They go to school, right? The next time you see them, they're like on their way to school, right?
Yep. Uh-huh. We see Johnny Depp pulling up in his red convertible.
Right.
And Tina and Nancy are there. And so we meet Johnny Depp, whose name in the movie is Glenn.
Right.
And we meet Heather Langenkamp, who I love, and her name is Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy was cool.
So they're walking in towards school, right?
Yeah.
And then Tina's like, wait, I had a serious nightmare. Did you guys have nightmares? And then they're like, what are you talking about?
Tina becomes the nightmare cops. Although Nancy does say that she had a nightmare too at this point.
Can I sing Dream Police?
And like Johnny Depp's like, ugh, women.
I don't know. His character sucked.
That was word for word his dialogue, too. Yeah.
Guys, this is just what Wes Craven writes. Wow.
Wes Craven?
Wes Craven writes his dialogue.
All right. But so Johnny Depp is saying that when you're having a dream, don't you know you just tell yourself you're having a dream and then you wake right up.
Mansplain dreams, Johnny Depp.
Exactly. Yeah. No. But can you guys do that in your dreams?
No, I don't really remember my dreams.
I've had a few lucid dreams.
So as they're walking in, Rob comes up behind Tina and sort of like grabs her from behind or whatever, which he does quite often.
Yeah, he does. I don't like him.
And says, I woke up with a boner this morning and it had your name on it.
No, he said hard on. This is pre-boner.
Yeah, boner was on Doogie Howser.
Excuse me.
No, growing pains?
Boner does not come around till later in the 80s, I guess.
My bad.
He's like, I had a hard on and it was your name on it. And she's like, it couldn't fit four letters, Rob.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Yeah, this whole scene kind of reminded me a lot of Scream, too. There are a lot of things in this movie that reminds me of Scream.
I think Scream does it much better. And I
think
realize
so
they're
too.
Both Wes Craven, but I think
30 years of practice, but that's fine.
That's true.
But there's a scene where they're walking down the sidewalk and Matthew Lillard comes up and grabs Rose McGowan from behind. But Matthew Lillard can pull it off. This Rob guy is just like, I think his name is Rod, actually. This Rod guy is just a less likable version of Stu.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, he's just dressed in like a black leather jacket. Looks like a big...
He's very like 80s Stephen
greaser,
King bully looking. He's even got a switchblade, I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
he does, because that's why he's getting arrested for this murder.
He and Tina are in a fight, so she doesn't want to talk.
But they never explains what they're in a fight about.
No, they
don't.
Not
really. I don't care. It's a high school fight. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, although if my girlfriend in high school had admitted to everyone that I had a small penis, I would be a hurt and probably be a little mad.
I would. I'd be like, see, someone's seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, she would know. You can take her word for it. Oh, and this is when Rob runs into the school, and now it's just the three of them, the two girls and Johnny Depp. And Johnny Depp kisses Nancy, his girlfriend, goodbye, and he runs in.
And Tina's like, wait, did you have a dream? And he's like already in the school.
He's gone.
And like Nancy's like, he can't hear you.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you not know how ears work?
But even our ears, Nancy.
Yeah, it's insane.
But so the next thing that happens, so now they're at Tina's house, and her mom has just decided to go out of town for 2 days.
To Vegas.
Yeah. Oh,
well, with the boyfriend.
Yeah.
She's like split town. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Nancy and Glenn are spending the night to keep Tina company because she's been having these nightmares and she's scared. And Glenn has this sound effects tape that he's going to use to call his parents and make them think that he's not shacking up at some girl's house.
Because his cousin lives by the airport, so he like plays airport sound effects and calls his mom.
Yeah.
And it goes great for like 10 seconds, and then shit hits the fan with like a car crash. And,
like a motorcycle.
There's a machine gun and an explosion. Yeah.
Right,
it's hilarious.
He's like, I'm calling the police! I'm calling the police! It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But you got to preview your sound effects.
Yeah, you got to cue those up.
That's parent line call 101.
Yeah.
Come on, Johnny Depp. But this was his first movie, so.
This is his very first movie?
Yeah, he was introducing Johnny Depp in the credits.
It reminded me of the Talk Boy from Home Alone 2, but whatever, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Johnny Depp is like, cool. Mm-hmm. Two hot chicks one little me. Yeah. I'm gonna find
one
myself.
One cassette of sound effects.
Yeah, listen, we're gonna
it's about to get weird.
It's gonna get sweet threesome amore time. And then they hear something outside.
Uh-huh. You see his hopes dash in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, he goes from about to have sex with two attractive high schoolers, and he's in high school, that's appropriate. He goes from that to getting a knife pulled on him in like 30 seconds.
But before that happens, they're talking about how they've dreamed about the same person.
Right. And then Johnny Depp has it. It's the two girls.
Well, talking about the knife fingers.
They're talking about it, and his head goes when he hears that she's... So I think it implies that maybe he has.
He doesn't confirm it, but I got that feeling too, but well, he doesn't confirm it.
You don't want to bring the mood down.
No.
If you're trying to hook up.
Yeah, he's like, guys, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about nightmares. Sweet man meat.
Don't talk about his sweater. Talk about my sweater.
Now, this part of the scene, you do see a person walk by the door in the back.
Yeah, it's Rob or Rod. Or
it's scary.
Yeah.
So now Johnny Depp, like Todd was saying, is going out and he's going to punch some ugly lights out, whoever you are.
Oh, my God. And like, listen, Johnny Depp is probably 5'8 and weighs about 110 pounds in this movie.
Yeah, he's not 21 Jump Street
anybody
yet.
Out. No, he's not. Yeah. No.
But he's wandering around calling for the cat, too. And then, surprise, it's Rob. And he jumps out and scares another person in this movie.
Well, he tackles Johnny Depp.
Yeah, not cool. And he's got a switchblade. And so
he doesn't pull the switchblade until Johnny's like...
I mean, they're all joking around. And then Johnny makes a joke at Rob's expense. And then Rob goes from ha-ha-ha to about to stab him.
Yeah, he pulls the switchblade on him pretty quick.
It's insane.
Well, and we get the sense that Rod is not really in this friend group. Rod is just
banging
up with
Tina.
That's not true, though, because they have a picture of all of them together.
That's true.
That she looks at
maybe,
later.
Maybe, I don't know. I think that was a hallucination. I don't know. I don't like Rod. Anyways,
I don't like Rod either. I mean, he's a horrible shitbag of a dude.
And then he just picks Tina up and drags her in the house.
Right.
And then now, Johnny Depp's like, let's make out. And she's like, we're here for Tina.
Right. And she's like, about to get assaulted. Although she did give consent.
It was consensual, but it was a little weird.
It's kind of a dick move on Tina's part, too. Like, hey, I'm afraid of having a dream. So please come over here and listen to me having loud sex with my boyfriend so I don't have a dream that scares me.
It's a power move, Mikey.
It is a power move.
Yeah.
And definitely don't sleep in the same bed because I'm the only one who gets to have sex tonight.
That's not Tina's fault.
That's true.
That's Nancy's fault.
Because the next scene
shitty.
Cuts to Johnny Depp downstairs on the couch listening to Tina and Rod have sex.
Go at it, man. Yeah. They're both really
having
a good time.
They both finish.
Yeah.
So go for it. But be safe.
And make a tape.
Make a cassette tape.
This was the
80s, guys.
This was the inspiration for the Sex Sounds podcast.
Anyway, then it cuts from Johnny Depp feverishly masturbating on the couch listening to them have sex to Nancy trying to sleep with like a cross above her, and the cross falls off the wall. That's like slanted
in. It's a crucifix.
What did I say?
Cross.
Oh, I guess it is because he's on it.
Jesus
is
like that wall.
The crucifix is on a slanted wall and it falls down and it sort of, I don't think it hits her, but she notices
it. No, it hits her.
Oh, does it? Okay.
It like lands on top of the covers.
Okay. And then his face sort of pushes through the wall. That effect was so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was very eerie and creepy. It wasn't super scary, but it was cool. It was very cool.
And I think that's one of the things this movie does really well is I think it's just very creative.
Yeah, and a lot of the effects really hold up, man. So the face pushes through and it gets really far in, and then it backs up as she like holds the crucifix up and then puts it back on the ceiling and it stays there.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the Amore people.
They are finishing. They're having their little pillow talk.
They call it the afterglow.
Oh, pardon
They didn't
me.
Pillow talk long.
No, because he was like, hey, thanks for the sex sleep time.
Yeah. Well, but at first he says that he had the scary dream too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's sleep time.
Oh, no, because he goes, men can have nightmares too.
They can
He gets mad at it and rolls over and goes to sleep.
So and this is kind of cutting back and forth, but Tina hears a noise and she goes up to the window, and then a rock hits the window right in front of her
it
and like cracks
embedded in doesn't it
yeah
it gets like stuck in the window.
She's in a dream now.
Absolutely, but
we're not quite sure about that yet, but yeah, I think
but
she is.
But
you're
right.
Are because the rock's embedded in the window,
right? That probably wouldn't happen.
When I throw rocks, they are thrown so hard that they do embed themselves at anything I throw the rock at.
Well, when I throw rocks, the whole window breaks.
Are you sure you didn't just trip and fall into the window?
I was holding a rock.
I am the rock.
So she does what you would do when you hear a strange noise at night. She goes out into the alley without pants or shoes on.
Okay, we got to stop here. We have to talk about this. Every person doesn't wear shoes in this whole movie.
Yeah, this whole movie is just Nancy learning the power of shoes.
Yeah.
Because when she finally fights him, she's wearing shoes.
Like cow shoes.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. She could have really killed him with sneakers.
Oh, man. Imagine what she could have done with golf cleats.
That's the sequel. What? And that's the third one.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the Soul trilogy.
Soul with the dollar sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she goes outside. It doesn't just, like, go in the backyard. She's, like, walking down an alleyway barefoot.
Right.
This is a dream.
It is a dream.
But, yeah, it is ridiculous, Mikey.
Yeah. So, but she's walking down an alley, and she sees Freddy, and this is the first time we've seen him. He's got, like, really burned face, and he's got a red and green striped sweater.
And he's doing his best Creed arms wide open impression.
Yes, he is.
He's got, like, big arms.
So, he's arms wide opening down the alley.
His arms wide open.
Oh, my God, I'm in a nightmare.
Yeah, you are, Mikey.
All right, but his arms are, like, as long as his body, and they're scraping both sides of the alley, and I really like this part,
I thought
too.
It was cool.
Yeah, yeah, it looks really cool. And just eerie and creepy.
Yeah.
And so he starts to chase her, and when he starts to chase her, I really liked this, too, because his arms are normal size, and he's just, like, waving them in the air. Yeah. Did you notice
he's
that?
Running like a psychopath.
Right, and it looks a little bit goofy, but he's so creepy
it's
looking.
It's real creepy.
It is very creepy.
The teacher from Urban Legend does a great job in this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you recognize him as the teacher from Urban Legend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first time I ever saw him in anything.
Knows Robert Englund from.
He'll always be the professor from Urban Legend for me.
Yeah.
He runs like pedophile golem.
How does pedophile golem run?
Like my princess.
Well, on that note. And so he starts to chase her, and so he's behind her, and then all of a sudden he's right in front of her.
Yeah.
And then he's just kind of leaning against a tree, cutting his fingers off, and it's squirting like green goo.
That was so dumb. Like he like,
hey, look at this. And then he cuts his fingers
he just
off.
Shows a magic trick. It's so weird. It was like she went to House of Cards in her dream.
Yeah. I mean, everybody likes magic, you know?
Everyone does like magic. Yeah. Anyway, there was
a trick is something a whore does for money, Todd.
It's an illusion.
There's a really cool part in this little montage, though, when she runs back to the house and he jumps out from behind that really skinny tree.
Uh-huh.
It's such a cool effect that was probably very difficult to do in 1984.
Because I didn't notice it. Did you not notice him behind the tree?
No, you can't see him until
it's
he's
really skinny.
Yeah. Mm. And it's super. It's like
an illusion.
Yeah. If you're not looking for it, you might have missed it. But if you watch it, it's very, very cool.
But you say that often.
It's something you.
It's something that,
this is the dick
hello,
side.
Honey. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Hey, listeners, that's what happened at the beginning of this movie.
Anyway, so it's something you can really do easily in like Premiere, like video editing software mm-hmm. now, but it has to have been very difficult then.
All right. And so he jumps on her and grabs her and is like wrestling her on the ground into like a pile of hubcaps. And she like reaches up and peels the skin
of
his
face
off. Oh, man,
it was so freaky. Yeah.
He's laughing. He's like, ah, there's maggots everywhere.
Right. And for like the effects that are like some of the effects, it's just really creepy. You
it
can
is.
Tell that it's not real, but it's so bizarre, you know.
And it's in this dream world state mm-hmm. that it doesn't have to look 100% real,
right.
for it to be realistic because it's in a dream.
Yeah, I'm glad that you liked it. I was a little worried you would think it was silly.
I mean, it is silly.
Yeah, but I think it's effectively creepy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And a lot of that is because Robert Englund is a really great actor in this role.
Yeah,
know?
He's amazing.
Yeah.
I like this version of Freddy best because he camps it up in the rest
Me
of them.
Me too. That's one of the reasons I don't love the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. I don't like the one-liners.
Right. Yeah. In this one, he seems like a serial killer, like real creeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, pedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the other ones, he just seems like a...
He seems like he's about to throw his shades on and then you hear like a...
Yeah!
Like you right. can literally be describing any of the movies
right now. Yeah. Except the first one. Okay, and so then Tina starts to scream and like roll around in the bed, and Rod wakes up and is like, what the fuck is going on? And then you see her skin get split open with those four claws, just like her nightgown got split open.
I mean, the razor
day.
Blades. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then she like lifts up in the air and she's like wrestling
Man,
with an invisible
is.
Person.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
It is.
It holds up.
And then she like swings around and knocks Rob in the head with her head.
Yeah.
And then she gets thrown into the corner and she like inches up the wall, like blood all over her, and she's screaming and we can't see anything but her, and it's really terrifying.
This scene is done so well. I mean, because they're spinning the room clearly. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And she's like at the over the bed and like reaching for him, and then she just falls on the bed and then bounces onto the floor and she's dead.
And he gets splashed with blood.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my second favorite death in any horror movie.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
In any horror
movie? It's a pretty good death though.
It is. And it's so creative, you know?
Yeah, and I bet it was very, very visually amazing, especially in 84.
Mm-hmm. It's still amazing now.
Because it still looks good, yeah.
They had the door locked. And so Nancy's outside. She's like, what is going on in there?
And then Johnny Depp breaks the door down.
Yeah, which I'm surprised about because he is a
about a
fella.
$1.25
Nancy loosened it for him first. That's we just couldn't see it because it was on the other side of the door.
That's what makes sense. So she gets in there, bloody mess in the corner. That's Tina. Mm-hmm. And then Rod has jumped out the window.
Yes.
There's a Rod-shaped hole in the wall.
Yeah. But I mean, he does have a knife. Mm-hmm. He pulled it on somebody earlier, and now his girlfriend's got stab wounds.
And he doesn't know who killed her, and that person might be right behind him right now, too.
Well, he saw her die to an invisible monster, so he's probably freaked out.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think he has a right to be freaked out.
But he also is like, I'm going down for this.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and so now they're at the police station, and we find out that Nancy's dad is the sheriff of the town.
And her parents are separated.
Yes.
I thought they separated because her acting was terrible.
I don't think she's that bad.
I do.
So her dad is justifiably upset that she was spending the night with two boys in the house when she's 15 with no parents also. And what was the mom thinking agreeing for that? And so the dad is saying, well, we know who killed her. It was Rod Lane. He's the murderer. And the mom's like, well, maybe you don't think murder is serious. And then Nancy's telling them that they were always fighting and she doesn't think that it was Rod, it was somebody else, and that she believes that Rod isn't the one who did it.
Yeah, they were always fighting, but they didn't fight this seriously.
Right, right.
And then her dad's like, I took a statement from Johnny Depp and he said he pulled a switchblade on him that night.
Yeah.
Oh, that did happen, but they didn't have a serious fight.
Right. But she's also saying Tina was afraid this was going to happen because she told me that she'd had a nightmare the night before too.
Which makes me just think that she was just afraid of him. Like if you're a sheriff hearing that, like, she told me this was going to happen. But she had a nightmare. I'm like,
okay. She wants him to come over, but she wants people to be there too, and just in case something happened. Right. And she did specifically ask them to stay.
Exactly. It doesn't look good for old Rod.
No, it doesn't.
No, and it does not. I mean, if I was a cop, I'd be like, this is an open and shut case, boys. He did it.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
So it's the next morning and Nancy wants to go to school, but the mom is giving her a perfect out and saying, why don't you just stay here and sleep? And she probably wants to go to school because she's afraid she might fall asleep.
Sure.
She just hangs around her house.
And she's been having bad dreams. Like, at this point, I don't think they know. Like, well, nobody doesn't know what's going on, but, like, she doesn't want to have any more bad dreams. Plus, she just watched her friend die. Maybe not watched, but walked in on her friend dead in a room.
Mm-hmm. But her mom doesn't even list that as a reason for her not to go to school. It was like, it was something ridiculous. And I was like, let her stay home. She just saw someone get murdered.
Absolutely.
But so she starts walking to school, and there's a weird guy watching her. And then suddenly she gets grabbed from behind by Rod, third time. That he has grabbed someone from out of the blue.
Yes. He's got a habit of doing this.
Yeah, he's in this movie for like 20 minutes. He's already grabbed four people.
Yeah. Can I pause for a second?
Yeah.
Who was that dude?
I think that was an FBI person.
It was an undercover cop watching
the sting operation.
Because she's like, Dad, you used me as bait.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So Nancy is asking Rod if he did it. And he's saying, no, there was someone else there. And then surprise, her dad was there. And it was a sting operation the whole time. But Nancy didn't know about it. And the dad used his daughter as bait to catch someone who just murdered a high schooler the night before.
Not technically.
I don't think he used her as bait. I just think he saw her walking to school and said, hey, I mean, Rod might come after her. I might want to stay close to her and see what happens.
Because he's not talking to the mom.
Yeah, and I also think he was just watching over his daughter.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a bad dude.
I think he means well.
He definitely does. Anyway, so he tries to shoot Rod.
Yeah.
But Nancy gets in the way, so he can't.
He's like, oh, Nancy.
And then Rod runs down the street barefoot.
So this movie's scary, not because of Freddy, but because I was afraid someone was going to stub their toe.
Yeah.
So many
or
times.
Step on a nail.
Yeah, how many times do the actors have to, like, go back to their trailer with, like, foot injuries?
Yeah, right?
I honestly think Quentin Tarantino watched this movie growing up, and he was like, ooh, all those feet.
This is what I want movies to be. Well, fun fact, Tina actually had one of her feet amputated because it got infected on the scene.
What?
That's not true.
I hate you so much. Holy shit.
But yeah, he's just trucking down the street with bare feet, and I thought he was going to get hit by a police car,
but they just arrest him.
Right. They grab him from behind.
Turn about his fair play, Rod.
How's it feel? Mm-hmm.
And they take him off the jail.
Wrap it up, boys.
But honestly, they should wrap it up because he definitely killed his girlfriend, but he didn't.
And they also were like, he has a switchblade.
I know. Right. We found the murder weapon that surprisingly has no blood on it.
And whether or not you think that the dad used Nancy as bait, Nancy thinks that her dad used her as bait.
Yes.
So she's yelling at her dad.
Yeah, I like her attitude
too.
Towards sort of everything. She's sort of, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want.
Right. And I'm going to call your shit out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
think that more people should be like that.
I like her, but I think the Rod situation, he looked real guilty. She didn't see her friend float into the ceiling and die. I would have immediately assumed Rod killed her and jumped out the window.
Me too.
And then he's like, go home. This is right. very traumatic. She's like, I'm still going to school.
Yeah, because I'm mad at you.
Yeah, she throws a hissy fit on the way to school.
Right.
It's insane.
Usually the opposite.
Yeah.
And now we've got Lynn Shay, and she's the teacher in this movie, and we
Fun
love
fact,
her.
She's an Insidious.
That's right. That's who Lynn Shay
she's
is.
She's the psychic.
Yes, she is. And so she's walking around, and she seems like a delightful teacher, and she's making someone stand in front of the class and read Julius Caesar. I think it's Julius Caesar.
It seems Julius Caesar adjacent if it's not.
I think so, too. It exists in the Julius Caesar Shakespeare.
It is definitely
universe.
In the expanded cinematic universe of Julius Caesar, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, I think Brutus is somehow involved. He got some kind of crystal or something.
Yeah, he's got one of the Infinity Stones.
That's what it is.
No, that's what I meant, yeah.
He's got the Time Stone.
Yeah. I know all about that.
Anyway, but just like you are, Nancy is falling asleep during this conversation.
Yeah.
And she starts to have a dream.
She does, and this part is so creepy.
It is creepy as fuck.
Mm-hmm, because she turns to the desk next to her, and Tina is there in like an opaque body bag.
I think she's actually just standing in the hallway outside the door.
No, she's sitting right next to her at first, I think.
She is.
Yeah.
She?
Well, we forgot to say earlier that Nancy's mom turned on a police report where they're pulling out Tina's body out of the house with a clear body bag.
Oh my
God. And it's disgusting.
On the news. That was just on the news.
Yeah.
This is not a part of the dream.
Her arm is hanging out. Yeah. So that's what appears to her in her dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she sees this body bag next to her, and Tina's like kind of trying to claw out of it. And then she sees a pool of blood in the hallway.
That's right.
And
that's
then she goes to investigate.
I like this part because if the other kids in the classroom, when she falls asleep, they don't move at all.
Oh,
in the background of that scene. It's really creepy.
Well, and I think the guy who's at the front of the room reading starts to say.
He's still reading, but he's reading it in more of an ominous and creepy tone.
Yeah.
And he's talking about dreams. They're talking about something about dreams. But she walks out of the hallway where that blood stain is. Mm-hmm. And then she sees Tina on the ground and her legs just lift up and she starts to get dragged by nothing.
And it's really cool.
It is very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so she's chasing after her and running around a corner, and she runs smack into Pigtail's hall monitor.
Who is also wearing Freddy's sweater.
She is. And I love when she says, fuck your hall pass. And I don't know if she actually says, fuck your hall pass.
I think it's screw your hall pass or something like that, but yeah.
Yeah. But high school me would have been like, oh no, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't have a hall pass. But not Nancy. So she says, screw your hall pass. And then she starts to run again, and we turn around and we see hall monitor Patsy or whatever. And now she's got
the Freddy glove.
Yeah, and she's saying,
and the hat,
Nancy.
I think
so too.
Or no, maybe it's just blood on her face.
It's
it was something else
creepy.
I don't think it was the hat.
I liked it though.
I thought it was cool. Yeah, fine.
All right, so now she starts to follow the blood trail, and there's like a giant blood trail that she's following.
Yeah, and she's following it down the halls. She's only making right-hand turns because it's a well-known fact that bodies can only make right-hand turns.
Right.
So she's following it down and then goes down some stairs, I think, right?
Down into
the boiler room.
Yeah. And so while she's down in the boiler room, she sees Freddy from off in the distance, and she sees that her face is all burned. And I think this is the clearest image we get of him so far. And he like lifts his chest up and cuts it open with his knife fingers.
You see those maggots?
Yeah, and like that green bloody goo.
Hate it.
Yeah. And then we get some bopping 80s music and he starts to chase her. And I really like the music in this movie.
Yeah.
It gets fun. And so he's waving his knife glove around and he's scraping it all over the rail and he's trying to give me a migraine with those sounds. And then she backs up into a corner and she's trapped and he's just slowly coming, like doing his little finger dance walking towards her. Because
he's really enjoying that chase.
He's into the chase,
man.
Yeah.
He loves the chase.
Just like Mikey.
So just like Mikey, she disappears right in front of his eyes.
Just like with Mikey, she burned herself to wake up and get away from him.
Yeah, so she slams her hand on a hot pipe or her arm on a hot pipe, and the burn is what wakes her up.
Yeah. Mikey's that hot pipe.
I'm not signing off for that.
She disappears.
Is she the one who disappears, Mikey?
Well, one of us does.
And then she wakes up screaming
in the classroom.
And then Miss Insidious comes back and she's like, oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah.
It's okay. You're awake now.
You 12 hours ago witnessed your friend die terribly.
She's the only adult that has any sort of humanity.
Why were you even at school? Yeah. So she sends her home. And so now Nancy goes outside and she's really upset and she's crying, but she notices that her arm is burned.
Yes.
And now suddenly she's gained access to the police station and is just interviewing a suspect.
Yeah, you know? She is interrogating Rod right
now. That scene was cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when your dad's the chief of police, I guess she should not be there interviewing a suspect.
No.
Yeah, she's 15.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't be left alone because he's a juvenile suspect.
Yeah.
And they still haven't cleaned the blood off of him.
Listen, you only get a phone call or a shower. He chose phone call, and he called Trevor, who was not at home because Trevor was cheating on his wife.
Fuck you, Trevor. So she's visiting Rod, and she's asking who it was that was there. He's like, well, I don't know. He was invisible. He couldn't see what was happening. He just saw all four of the cuts appear at the same time.
And he also says that he thought he was in a dream when it happened. He was like, right. I wish I had reacted sooner, but I thought I was still having the bad dream that I was having.
The night before. Yeah, because he had just had that same nightmare.
Yeah.
And then so she, once he tells her that he dreamed about a guy who had knives for fingers, she just decides she's done with the conversation and walks away.
Yeah, I did. Didn't realize that.
I got everything out of this that I needed. I'm leaving.
Right.
But I'm gonna be convicted of murder. Please
exactly.
don't leave.
Like, yes, do you think you he did it? And she does call back, no, I don't think you did it. But she pieces out after
But I'm
that.
15 years old, so good luck with that.
Yeah. Right. I am not a lawyer or a judge, so you're screwed. Mm-hmm. Do me a favor, don't hang yourself. Bye!
Yeah. And so now she's relaxing at home in a bathtub. And
oh,
she's got
yeah.
one of those bath pillows that I used
I've
to have.
I've never seen one of those before
have
in my
not?
Life.
One
yeah.
of those. Oh, I have one of those.
So she's just getting her steam on in this hot bath, having a little self-amore time.
She is relaxing. And
hey,
whatever
self-care?
She does
yeah,
to relax
yeah.
is her
Listen,
business.
Listen, I'm not saying that she's touching anything, but Freddie's reaching for it at least.
Yes, he is. Because she starts to kind of drift off in the bathtub, and we see, and this is an iconic shot.
Yes.
We see his claws coming up out of the water in between her legs, and it's very sexual.
Her legs are very spread for a bathtub.
They are. Yeah, I mean, she's by herself. She just wants to get
I mean, I don't do this in the bathtub.
You're
Mikey,
not taking baths right then.
Mikey, you definitely should.
I'm a wide dude.
You gotta get all in them nooks and crannies.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
you gotta get the Epsom salts in there.
I need a big, big tub. I'm a big boy.
Yeah, you are, Mikey.
I appreciate it.
So his claw hand starts to come up in between her legs and then tries to reach over
it's,
onto her stomach.
It's almost a come hither motion. Yeah.
Some might say. Jen will not.
Mikey's face is so confused right now.
You want to really trim up those knives.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. You definitely got to trim up those
trim
knives.
Trim your nails, guys.
Yeah.
Here's a tip. You like,
nope. You know, I don't.
You know, Mikey, we don't need no tips. We don't need no tips. But she starts to wake up.
Because the mom knocks on the door and is like, Nancy, don't fall asleep in the bathtub.
Right, that's what she
drown.
Says.
Yeah.
Don't lock the door if you're taking a bath either.
But what? But as she stands up, or as she wakes up, the hand gets like pulled back into the
it
tub.
It does, yeah. And so she doesn't see it, yeah. And her mom, like my mom used to tell me all the time, don't fall asleep in the bathtub because you'll drown. Okay, so mom goes away.
And she gets back to self-amore.
Meaning she falls asleep.
My
which
bad.
Sometimes is just the best pleasure of all. Anyway. so she falls asleep again, and then she gets dragged down underneath into the bathtub.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Like this shot is very, very cool.
It's very cool.
Because we see her underwater and we don't exactly see what's grabbing her, but we keep seeing her hands reaching up and trying to pull herself back out. And she's screaming and her mom's hearing and trying to come in and like coat hanger open the door. And then Nancy somehow gets out and just steps out.
Yeah.
Just right when the mom opens the door.
Well, by the time the mom opens the door, she's out of the tub. She has a towel around herself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the mom gets her a bathrobe and they, you know, she's like, I'm so sorry. I just slipped and whatever.
Right.
She like completely downplays it, which I'm not quite sure why she does, but I think it's just because she was in this dream state. Maybe she was like half asleep, half awake.
Right.
And your mom's terrible.
Yeah. She is an alcoholic. Like, she has alcohol like stashed throughout the entire house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, and she's the only adult, just put it in a cabinet.
Yeah.
But at this point in the movie, like, this is a normal mom thing that she's doing. Like, she's checking on her daughter. It seems
I think
like
so too,
she might be making dinner.
Right,
you know.
But you know Nancy doesn't trust her because her parents are separated.
Right.
Her mom's an alcoholic and is doing really weird stuff.
And we haven't seen a whole lot of evidence of that up at this point. But yeah, I think we're starting to
In context, notice. It makes sense.
Right.
Yes. All right, so now she's watching TV and reading at the same time, which takes a lot of effort.
Mikey was very upset about that. He was like, are you a monster? How can you do this?
It's impossible.
But later in the movie, Johnny Depp is listening to music while he's watching TV.
Yeah.
Why would you ever do that?
I don't know. Watch MTV. Back then, they showed music.
It was both at the same time.
Exactly.
It's the 80s version of second screening. So now she's kind of drifting off, but Glenn comes through her window right now. And this reminded me a lot of Scream also. So Glenn is there, and he's being real, like, jerky.
Barefooted. Okay.
He's barefooted.
He is barefoot.
Like, I just climbed up this rose trellis barefooted. Let me in.
Yeah. You know how hard it is to stand on a rose trellis barefoot?
So I go, his feet have to be disgusting. So he sits
and
in the chair
bleeding.
And he crosses his feet. They're disgusting.
Yeah, they are disgusting.
Exactly. Just put shoes on.
Put shoes on because she doesn't want your dirty, bloody feet prints.
I don't want your dirty, bloody feet prints.
Right.
I did it for you, Nance. Can't you see? I didn't want you to do this.
Yeah. I footprinted you every day for a year.
Oh, my God. Things have gone crazy.
This is what happens when we don't sleep.
I know.
We never would have been able to kill Freddy.
Oh, my God. It is appropriate that we did this one when we had zero sleep.
It really is, yeah. So he's like power footing himself all over her bedroom and then says, hey, I heard you freaked out in English class today. Not, hey, your best friend got murdered like 24 hours ago. Are you upset about it?
Also, I was there. Maybe I could be upset about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm working through things in a very weird way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just trying to walk his feelings out.
Nancy's like, you got to stand guard for me when I'm asleep. And he's like, I don't know, Nancy.
Okay, so she does ask him to stay awake and watch her sleep. And if it looks like she's having a nightmare, wake her up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, whatever, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I'll just sit with my nasty feet on this rocking chair next to your bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to sleep and so does he.
Mm-hmm.
And she has another dream.
And she starts walking outside, no shoes on.
And then she walks through the mud.
Yeah.
And straight up a mud puddle
as
she walks through.
She walks through the glass, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before she gets to the glass, I like that she's walking and she's like, Glenn, are you still watching me? And he just like pokes out from behind a tree and says, yeah, I'm still watching you. Go ahead.
Which is definitely a dream for her.
Exactly.
Like he's still asleep.
Because he's not watching her. Yeah.
No.
So she's walking past a window with broken glass and then she goes to a window with bars on it. And I couldn't tell what it was at first, but it's the outside window of the cell that Rod is in. And she sees.
Well, it says the Fifth Precinct. It's the jail. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I missed that sign. But yeah, so she's at the jail.
So this is when Freddie comes into the jail cell and you see him do what Terminator 2 does in 5 years from now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that John Connor ripped off this movie, but he ripped off this movie.
Well,
he
doesn't.
The bars don't go through him. Terminator does it better.
Terminator 2 does everything better. Anyway.
So he walks through the bars and then he looks up at Nancy, and then he disappears, right?
Yeah, and like waves his little
finger. And then Nancy starts yelling for Glenn, who's Johnny Depp, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then we see Tina outside the precinct again. Tina is in the body bag, and she has kind of zipped the face open a little bit, and she opens her mouth, and a centipede crawls out.
This part made me
gag. Todd almost threw up.
Literally almost threw up.
That was maybe the most nervous I've ever been that you were going to throw up.
I thought you were going to throw up.
Because we also had some really bad Chinese food before we watched the movie.
We did have some bad Chinese food.
And the eels. It was the eels that got me more than the centipede.
Right, because there's a bunch of eels on the
ground. It cuts back to Nancy, then it cuts back to her, and it's just eels in a puddle on the ground.
Fuck, that was gross. Oh, my God.
It's really gross, yeah. And now Freddy's right behind her and chasing her again.
Yeah, she had to walk barefoot through the eel puddle.
Yeah, and so she gets back into her house and closes the door and tries to go upstairs while Freddy's trying to kind of break down the door, but her feet are sinking through the stairs.
Yeah, the marshmallow stairs.
Right.
Yeah, so she gets past the marshmallow stairs.
Yes, she
and
does.
And gets back up into her room, right? Yep. And then her and Freddy start wrestling and Johnny Depp is still just sitting in the rocking chair.
Yeah.
And they're like knocking into him.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually do end up sort of like on the floor right there in front of him, like in between his legs.
Uh-huh.
And then the alarm starts to go off and then she wakes up.
The alarm clock.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
And Freddie has slashed through the pillows.
Yes.
Instead of slashing through her. And so she wakes up and immediately gives Glenn a bunch of shit for falling asleep.
Yeah. He had one job.
Yeah.
And he slept through it.
And there's a theme in this movie of Nancy asking people for help and them constantly letting her down.
Yeah.
So now Nancy and Glenn are going to the police station.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're demanding to see Rod. And because they're high school students, of course, they just let him on in.
2 a.m. too.
Dude, I love the police officer who's like working the front desk. He's like, man, I took the night shift so I wouldn't have to have a busy. And she's like, let me see him. And he's
exactly.
Like, what the fuck? His reaction to her is the best acting anyone does in this movie the whole time.
My dad's a sheriff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we're starting to see Rod, who's asleep on his cot in his cell, and the sheet that he has, which,
it's moving around.
Oh man,
yeah.
It looks,
it's twisting up, and it's, and you guys made so many.
Well, okay, so it looked like he was getting erect.
It did at very first, and then once you see it move up by his neck, you're like, oh, he's not that big,
right?
Because you could definitely get four letters on that.
Yeah. Also, that's insanely large if it can reach your neck. So, anyways, the sheet is starting to go around his neck, and he's starting to be like pulled up, and it's gonna hang him.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell what's gonna happen. He starts to wake up as it happens. It's like cut between them trying to get back to see him and him getting hung.
Yeah, Nancy's dad's come, and she's like, "Why are you working?" He's like, "There's an unsolved murder yesterday, and I'm the sheriff.
You were there,
so I have like a job to do."
Yeah, but she's like, "Rod's gonna die," so they like run to the jail cell. They're trying to unlock it. They see him hang himself, or he's hanging right there.
Yeah.
Well, and they come just a little bit too late because he's already dead. So they pull him down. They check his pulse,
and they don't see him being hung. They just see him already have been hung.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And they cut him down and lay him in Nancy's lap like you would do with
literally cut him down and take him over to Nancy's lap and set him there, and then they check the pulse.
Yeah.
They're like, "Nancy, hold your friend." Yeah, he's dead. Sorry about that. Hey, remember what happened to your friend last night?
Yeah.
Same thing happened to our boyfriend tonight.
It's like that. Yeah.
He definitely did it. Wrap it up, boys.
Wrap it up. Open and shut case, boys.
What do you think now, Nancy? He hung himself.
Yeah.
He's in your lap. Do you think he's guilty now?
Jeez.
Maybe next time you'll listen to your father.
Yeah.
They have some issues.
You've given me a lot to think about.
We'll show ourselves out. Hello, my baby.
Hello, darling.
Hello, ragtime gal.
All right. So now we cut to the first funeral in this movie. Which,
and this is not Tina's funeral. This is the person they think murdered her funeral. And there are a lot of people there.
I'm surprised.
I know you were. You brought it up.
Yeah. And I'm surprised because Wes Craven loves to show funeral scenes that they didn't show Tina's.
Yeah. I'm surprised too.
Maybe
I'm surprised the sheriff showed up, and I'm surprised Nancy showed up, and I'm surprised everyone showed up and was like, maybe he didn't do it. And I was like, nah, he probably did.
Or maybe it's just that, you know, he's a teenager that they knew, and maybe he did something terrible, but he was still a person. So
teenagers' funerals do have the biggest turnout typically.
Do they?
Yeah. I found that out when my brother died as a teenager.
Aww.
Yeah.
Is that like actual statistics?
It is, yeah. I mean, like 700 people attended my brother's funeral.
Really?
Yeah. It was because he had a lot of friends from many different communities, and they're all young. And like if you live a long, long life, most of your friends may be dead or can't make it to your funeral, right?
So is that what's happening to me?
Yeah.
So after this funeral, she's sitting at some kind of weird hobbit church.
Yeah, well, it's the church they buried him at.
I know.
Yeah.
But it just looks so
bizarre.
It's
because the hedges around the outside. Right. It did sort of look like a hobbit church.
And the way the street is situated, too. It was interesting. I wanted to investigate this church more, but we don't. So Nancy's mom comes and
gets her in the car. Like, they put her in the Volvo, and the detective dad comes over and says, keep her in the house. Like, don't let her out.
Yeah.
There's something going on.
Well, and he's asking Nancy, he's saying, you said someone else killed Tina. Who was it? Who do you think it was? And that's when she starts to talk about who she thinks it is. She says he's got a burned face and he's got a hat and he wears a red and green sweater and he has knives for fingers and their eyes are about popping out of their heads.
Yeah, between
like
the mom and dad.
The conspiracy eyes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so they like hustle her into the car and the mom's like, I'm going to get her some help.
Cut to sleep study.
Yeah, the Katya sleep disorder clinic.
Yes.
My favorite part is like the doctor of the sleep study is like, you know, it's probably just the fact that she's witnessed two murders in 2 days.
2 days, yeah.
Exactly.
He even calls out that it's just been 2 days.
But I'll take your money. Your money's good here. We'll do this study.
Right.
But she's probably not going to sleep for a while.
Yeah. She should definitely be seeing us and not a psychiatrist.
Right. Yeah. This is stop number one, guys.
Right. Oh, wangay blangay. Yeah. So she's getting sleep monitored, and you guys made a lot of rim face jokes or something. Yeah, we did talk about R.E.M. in their greatest
hits. Well, I do remember making a few references to R.E.M. albums and songs during this. All right. But he more or less gets her to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. He starts to talk about the display and how a 0.3 is a fine dream, but a 0.5 or higher is a scary dream, and then she goes way off the charts.
Yeah, she does.
And they have to go wake her up.
10, 20, 30. But they're talking about how dreams are mysteries, and he says they're like body hocus pocus. And that they still don't actually know what dreams are.
Which is, you don't want to hear from someone who's doing your sleep study.
Exactly.
Like, I have no idea what any of this does. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, we make up a lot of this shit as we go along.
Exactly.
Do you want to write me a check? Or like, what's the deal?
Right,
you pay up front.
But anyway, so they wake her up, but she has the hat with her.
And she's got scratches on her arm.
Yeah, so she pulls like off a legit magic trick. Mm-hmm. Illusion, excuse me.
Yes. She scratched her own arm and she's like, did I? Or how did I get this? Ta-da!
Bunch of flowers. Oh, wait, no, it's a hat. Sorry.
And it has 1,000 pennies!
So they have, she has his hat now.
Right.
In reality.
And the mom definitely recognizes this hat.
Oh, yeah. She's like, ooh, I murdered a man in that hat once.
Nancy comes down and hears mom talking to someone on the phone about the hat. So Nancy's saying she's trying to prove who killed Tina and that, yes, there is a guy who's coming after me in my dreams. And the mom has like not so sneakily tried to shove this hat into a drawer. It was either alcohol or the hat.
Ladies. Well, no, there is alcohol on the counter that she then pushes behind her as Nancy comes down to the kitchen.
And so she's getting really mad at her mom and she's saying, you do know who it is. And she pulls the hat out and she says, look, it's got his name written right into it.
It says Fred.
It says Fred Krueger.
If found, please return to F. Krueger.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, F. Krueger.
Yeah. Then she said, well, maybe I should just get a bottle and get loaded, like alluding to her alcoholism, which apparently she's not hiding very well. And then the mom slaps her in the face and says, Fred can't come after you anymore because he's dead. So now Nancy knows for sure that her mom has just been pretending.
Gaslighting her.
Exactly. Yeah. And that she knew all along who this person was and tries to make her think she was crazy. So that if she just ignores it, that it'll go away.
In all fairness, the mom did kill Freddy. Not by herself. A bunch of people did. Mm-hmm. So it would be like, listen, he's dead. He cannot hurt you.
Right.
Right.
And then she's like, I'm telling you, he's coming to my dreams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just saw me, like, you just saw evidence that this might
I just
be
conjured
happening.
His hat. Out of nothing.
Right. Well, it's okay. Nancy gets pissed, picks up the bottle, and slams it on the ground.
She
and
does,
her mom, bare feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is going on in this Tarantino feet masturbation fest? It's unsettling.
It's a
There's
nightmare.
Too many bare feet.
So now Nancy and Glenn are on a bridge. And he's talking about dream skills and saying, if you have a nightmare, you just have to make up your mind that you're in a magic world. She's talking about a culture that gets its literature from dreams.
And how they can control their dreams.
Yeah.
So if they're falling, they have to just see themselves falling into a poem or a music or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or a music or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they just get wake up and write down what the dream was.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Favorite part about this scene is like, he invites her to go with him to go to a bridge. And he's like, when I'm stressed, I eat. Okay, I've been there, Johnny D. Doesn't offer her any food or
Does
anything.
Does not offer her any food.
Just eats his food. He's like, well, I could solve your dream problem. Just pretend. Just don't give the monster power.
And then doesn't solve her dream problem. And so she leaves him there eating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he's saying you just turn your back on it and you take away its power.
Yes.
And that's how you defeat your dream.
Right.
Or your negative
just like
dreams.
Commitment.
You turn your back on it, Mikey.
It takes away its
and
power.
She's reading a book about booby traps.
Yes.
And then she says, because I'm into survival.
Yeah.
And that's when she turns on her heel and walks away.
Which she is and
she
does pay off later.
Yeah,
so,
she's
very
proactive. And that's something that makes her kind of an evolved final girl if you look at Sally and Alice and Laurie, because she's not just reacting. And I don't say that to take anything away from those final girls. I'm just saying this is an evolution of this trope, is that she's starting to make plans to try to defeat this monster.
Yeah. Now, I will say some of those final girls don't have the opportunity to plan.
Exactly.
Like,
like Laurie doesn't know Michael exists until he's trying to kill her.
And then she starts stabbing him with needles.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, she's a badass.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And again, not saying anything to take away.
Right.
I'm saying it's an evolution of the writing of these characters.
Okay. And Nancy is a badass, too. I'm not saying she's not. But
right.
Anyway,
exactly. So, and I would put Ripley in that category also.
Yeah. So what happens after this?
All right. So now she goes home and she notices that her mom has just commandoed out the house, took the trellis down and put bars on all the windows.
Right.
Yeah.
So now Johnny Depp can't come over and she can't get out once she's inside the house because she also put a new lock on the front door and it's a key lock on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a deadbolt you can just open and go out if you're inside.
Right. And since the mom did that, she's just been nonstop drinking with another bottle that she found because she's just drunk swagger smoking around her house.
It looks like Malibu rum.
It does.
It does. Yeah, yeah. Or maybe Grey Goose, I think.
Oh, maybe Grey Goose.
Yeah. So she says, well, come down in the cellar and I'll tell you all about the story. So they go down into the cellar and she has this furnace thing with the door on it. And she's talking about Fred Krueger. And he was a child murderer who killed at least 20 kids in the neighborhood.
Which is a lot of kids.
That's a shitload of kids.
That's a That's not a big neighborhood.
It's a lot of kids for these kids not to remember anything about that.
Yeah, so she's telling the story about how they arrested Freddie.
They did, yeah.
And then he got off on a technicality.
He did.
And then the town got together and burned him alive.
Yes, they tracked him down. They found him in an old boiler room, and that's where he used to take the kids. And that's the bad place that we keep seeing him in. Yeah. And then she's got the knife glove.
Yeah.
She shows it to Nancy. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Nancy's like, what the fuck? This thing is real. And now she knows the story. So now Johnny Depp is watching TV and listening to music at the same time.
Like a monster. Waiting for Miss Nude USA to come on.
Yeah. Well, and to tell his mom all about it.
No, it's not real.
No.
So he's just joking with his mom?
Yeah, he was just fucking around. Yeah.
And that's, I mean.
She even calls it out. She's like, listen to you, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's like, well, how are you going to hear what they say since you're listening to music? He's like, why would I care what they say?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then Nancy calls him and they're like looking across at each other from across the street and talking on the phone. And she's saying she hasn't slept in 8 days.
Yeah.
And she needs him to help her. And she's going to bring Freddie out of the dream like she brought his hat out. And she needs Johnny Depp to meet her at midnight. And she's going to try to bring him out of the dream. And then Johnny Depp, I guess, is responsible for like killing punching his ugly lights out.
Well, she said bring a bat or something. She's like, you have something you can use.
Right, yeah.
But he's not reliable. Also, he's not big.
He's got that crutch on his door, though.
Yeah, what was that about, man? Anyway, so
he played Tiny Tim in the Christmas pageant. Did.
That's what it was. So she calls her soon-to-be ex-boyfriend to do something that is requiring him to stay awake again when he has a proven track record of not being able to do that.
Yeah. And he has spaghetti noodle arms.
So she leaves him and waits, and then she's Jesse Spanoing, and she's taking some like stay-awake
speed.
Pills.
Yeah, she's like taking speed. They're like caffeine pills.
So now Glenn is asleep, and his mom comes in to check on him, and this is when they have the conversation about Miss Nude America, and who cares what she says? I'm listening to music. I'm not listening. He's not reading for the articles.
Right.
He's looking at the pictures.
Absolutely.
And she says it's almost midnight and they have a sweet little mother son.
Yeah.
Goodbye. And I'm glad that they get to have this because it's the last time they're going to see him.
Before he gets bed blendered.
Yeah. And so now Nancy and her mom are having another moment and she's kind of tucking Nancy in because Nancy's fooled her into thinking she is actually going to sleep.
This is my favorite part.
This is an insane scene. I love it.
Because her mom, it's very like Wes Craven shock. Kind of, you know, because the mom takes like 3 giant pitchers of coffee out of her room. But never fear, because Nancy's got a plugged in brewing Mr. Coffee full size
on the floor under her nightstand.
Yes.
And then she doesn't even unplug it and plug it back in.
No.
She just pulls it out from under her nightstand, sets it on top of her nightstand and pours herself a piping hot cup of Joe. It's hilarious.
It really is. And then she walks over to her closet to change clothes and I expect her to open the door of the closet and to have like this whole like mini coffee bar behind there.
It's like a barista and she's just like, hey, I want some pumpkin cream cold brew.
Exactly.
Ooh,
so good.
Oh, I've heard that's a good
it's amazing
thing.
It's the best. This it episode is brought to you by Starbucks cold brew. Pumpkin.
I had one today.
Did pumpkin you? Cream cold brew.
And so she looks out the window and she's seeing Glenn's parents standing out there, and Glenn's dad is just like grimacing
and staring at her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was changing. So,
extra, I forgot about that.
She gets a little naked right there, and he's staring at her, which is a creepier element on this. And then the wife's like, don't stare at that.
Exactly. You're not supposed to be leering.
What are you, a friend of Ramon?
Yeah, right. And then she's like, I think she's crazy. I don't want her to see my son again.
And the mom's like, no, the mom's just being cautious. Like, she lives there by herself. She just wants to protect her daughter. And kids are getting murdered right now. And so mom is secret drinking now. And Nancy calls Glenn again. And the mom answers. And did you guys ever call a significant other, like, real late or know that one was going to be calling? And you, like, had to lay on top of the phone so that you could answer it immediately so that nobody in your house would hear a ringing?
No, what you would do is you would call like a movie phone line or like to get the weather or whatever and just sit online with that automated service and wait for the call waiting to come through.
So smart.
Why did I not do that?
Because you're not as smart as
you guys
as
are a couple years older than me. I had my Nextel phone by the time.
Also,
nice.
Yeah.
So she's calling Glenn's mom, and Glenn's mom's like, dude, it's midnight. What are you calling about? And Nancy says, it's super private and very important. So, of course, the mom's going to say, oh, okay, perfect. Here you go. Here's my son.
I'm pregnant.
That's what she should have said.
Yeah.
She should have said, I'm pregnant, because then there's no way they're letting Glenn sleep anymore. Johnny Depp is downstairs getting yelled at immediately.
But he can't go out and help her if he's locked in his house forever.
Yeah, but he's not dead forever.
Well, that's true. That she could have saved his life.
He would have been wide awake, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. He would not have gotten any sleep that night.
Because they haven't had sex yet, too. So
we don't know.
Now
that.
There's a mystery to figure out.
Oh, I'm on the
who's
case.
The father. All right. But so anyways, the dad comes up and just hangs up on her. And is like, you just got to show these kids who's boss. And then kills his son effectively by taking the phone off the hook.
I mean, there's no way he knew that was going to happen. But yeah, he does. He kills
I know. But you know, he is going to beat himself up over that for probably the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good.
Jeez, Mikey.
Nancy tries to call again, and it because their phone's off the hook, right? And she rips the phone out of the wall, and she throws it on the bed, wraps it up, throws it on the bed, and then she starts to walk out of the room, and then the phone rings again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then she walks over to the phone, and the phone gives her mouth a lingus.
Yeah, he goes, "I'm your boyfriend now."
So gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then phone tongues are. Yeah. It is really gross.
Talk about phone sex.
Oh, no. Gross.
I've been saving that since the rest of the movie.
Oh my god, that's hilarious!
Hello,
this episode brought to you
Dip
by that song. All right, so she tries to go get Glenn, but her mom has locked the door, and her mom's just shit faced.
Yeah, she tries to wake her mom up in the bedroom, right? And your mom's shit-faced drunk.
Her mom is shit faced drunk on the couch.
Yeah. I bet you want the keys, don't you, Nancy?
I got
the keys somewhere.
I even have them on me.
And so then we cut back to Glenn, and we hear the national anthem playing.
Because this is when TV stations literally went off the air for like 6 hours from midnight till six.
You had
like
the
Netflix
color bars.
Wouldn't stream after midnight?
Oh,
there
wow.
There was no Netflix, yeah. Mikey. And so we hear the announcer signing off, and then Freddie's arms come up and grab him from around the waist and pull him into a hole in the bed. And his headphones and the TV and anything else that's around him on
and the record player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything he's connected to.
And it doesn't turn out well because then we see a gigantic geyser of blood just shooting up to the ceiling.
And this is when his mom just decides to come check on him.
All right.
She sees Blood Faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting out of the bed.
This shot's really cool, though.
It really is, yeah.
You know how they did it?
The room's upside down.
Yeah, the room's upside down, mm-hmm. and you never see her in the room.
Right.
Right.
You just see her reaction at the door.
And that is how they did it, and they used 500 gallons of fake blood for it.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's red dyed water. And so all of the cops are there, and this was one of the most disturbing things in the movie because we walk in and they see they're having to put a bucket on the first floor because so much blood is dripping down from the ceiling. And like that's what's left of their son.
Yeah.
And it really
they're literally
is disturbing.
Taking him out in buckets.
Mm-hmm. And we see the dad like get really emotional.
They're like,
hey, I love how we're laughing about it.
I know.
Get the wet dry back, boys. We gotta get this guy to the autopsy room.
Well, because they bring a stretcher in and
he's gonna
like,
be
no,
buried
no, no.
in an aquarium.
Yeah, and we see like the Mickey brooms taking out like all the buckets of Johnny Depp blood.
Bag him up, boys.
All right. But it's not funny, it's terrible.
It is horrible. How dare you laugh at that, Mikey? Got him.
Ooh, teen chair. All right.
And then he went.
Oh my gosh. They could just make him into a memorial fountain.
Dear Mikey, I loved your joke. All right.
Dearest Michael.
Dearest Mikey, the war is not going well in the North. But your joke is very great.
I am struggling here in the war of northern aggression. But your joke has kept me and the compatriots warm on these cold southern nights. Please keep your jokes coming, as we don't have much to look forward to other than racism and horrible sister fun.
But we have faith in great General Lee. Welcome to Ken Burns' horror version.
All right, let's move on. Fuck it.
All right. So now Nancy calls her dad at someone else's house and is talking to her dad and saying, "Dad, I got a proposition for you." I don't know why I said that weird. She says, I mean, I guess because she's saying, "Dad, I have a proposition for you."
Yeah.
And it sounds weird. But she's saying, "I'm going to go get the guy who did this because you're not doing anything to protect me."
Yeah.
"But can you please protect me right now?"
Yeah.
"I want you to be on the porch and bust the door down in exactly 20 minutes. And it's really important. That's going to give me enough time to fall asleep and go get him and do 9,000 other important things."
The montage that's about to happen is insane because she has 10 minutes before she has to get in bed so she can fall asleep by the 20 minute mark. And she sets up like booby traps that involve chemistry.
Yeah. And hammers.
Yeah. Insane stuff. Yeah.
Right.
One, she's on speed.
Yeah. Caffeine is a hell of a drug.
Two.
It's true.
If she has all these shotgun shells, wouldn't she just use the shotgun?
No.
We see the shells, we don't see the shotgun.
Yeah. It might be in a safe somewhere. You don't know. So she takes these shotgun shells and bores out a light bulb. So when the light bulb gets turned on, it shoots out the shotgun pellets and the powder explodes. Yeah.
That's cool.
We see that happen. Like, that actually happens in the movie.
Way to go, Nancy.
Yeah. Like, she's a badass.
Well, she was reading that book about booby traps.
Yeah. Kevin McAllister's book.
Yeah. So she's reading the
Home Alone.
She's the diagrams of all the micro machines.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
A crayon map. But she also has time to MacGyver out her entire house and have a heart-to-heart with her mom.
Oh, yeah. She gets that heart-to-heart with her mom for sure.
Mm-hmm. And her mom decides not to drink because it's such a powerful heart-to-heart.
I don't think she decides that because her
later.
Mom is shit-faced.
Well, but she takes the bottle and she's about to take another sip and she says, "Sometimes it's time to just turn away from things." And then she doesn't take a sip and puts it down.
Well, yeah, because she's already shit-faced and she just wants to go to sleep without pissing herself.
The bottle's empty.
That's what it is. Oh, she's like, "Oh, this is empty.
Oh, yeah.
Give me another goose."
But she's also saying sometimes you just have to turn away, which is the same thing that Glenn was saying. Like, if you turn away from something, you take its power away. And they say they love each other, which is a good thing that they do.
It is.
Yeah. So Nancy's now going to her bed and saying her prayers. And then she lays down. And then she's walking down steps.
But now she's wearing shoes.
Yes.
She's put on the shoes.
She's decided that shoes were the problem all along.
She read the survival book, and chapter one was lace up.
Yeah. Chapter one is literally just put shoes on, idiot.
Right. But I think they're still house slippers.
They are, but she's in
the house. It's a step up.
She's only in the house. This is appropriate footwear.
But she doesn't put boiler room shoes on when she goes to the boiler room.
Do you have separate boiler room shoes?
Do you not, Todd?
Oh, well, excuse me. I don't have a boiler.
Oh. How's that wood paneling house going?
Simpletons.
Oh, my God. Am I getting boiler shamed? What is this, 1833?
Oh, capital. So she's going down into her boiler room shoes.
Yes, she is.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, so she's walking down, and now she's walking down to an even more boiler room.
Yeah.
And she starts to hear Tina's voice and Freddie laughing.
She got cellarception.
She did, yeah. And so now she's walking down a spiral staircase. And she's yelling for Freddy. She's saying, "I'm here. What are you waiting for?" And she finds this Freddy lair, which is like just a real sad mattress with like an army blanket on it or something. And Tina's crucifix is under the covers. I don't want to know why.
I sort of want to know why.
I kind of want to know why.
And then she sees some blood-soaked headphones that were Glenn's. And that's really sad and disturbing.
I mean, these are just his trophies.
Yeah, it's
going to
make that mattress all dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, but that one's not on the mattress. That one's drying off by the
fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's a serial killer, so he's taking souvenirs from all his kills.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These are just the trophies.
Right. And she's saying, show yourself. And then he does. He's right behind her.
Peek-a-boo.
And she jumps down the steps and lands in the bushes of her front yard. And did you guys see the giant pad that she
landed
on?
It's very clear. There's a giant big black pad she lands on.
All right. And I think this is how she's drawing him out of the dream, because he follows her out of the dream. And I think now, at this point, she's in her actual house.
No, she's not.
That is her showing that she learned how to control her dream.
Yeah,
because
it's like,
she's controlling the dream. She's able to go from the thing.
Johnny Depp says when you're falling, you just think you're falling into something else.
Yeah, and that's what she does. And that's why I don't mind that big black pad being there.
Because she jumps on it.
That's what she would want to land on if she was falling onto something.
That's true.
So she lands on it, and it's gone when he falls onto it.
Right.
So, it doesn't bother me, even though you can see it.
Well, and so he falls on too, and then she just like ninja jumps on top of him and starts wrestling with him. And I think she did some of her own stunts, and she's talked about how she and Robert Englund had a really like fun relationship. Like, he was kind of like a mentor.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so she did a lot of these stunts herself. And I mean, they're not super
No, I mean, they're not
stunts,
super intricate stunts, but that's cool.
But she's probably also like 20 when she was doing this. Yeah.
Anyway, so she jumps on and they wrestle a little bit, and then she's up in her bed upstairs.
Right, because her alarm went off and she's woken up. She wakes up and nothing happened. She said, I guess I am crazy.
And then
he jumps out and he's right behind her.
Yeah.
So is now when he's now he's not in the dream world anymore.
Right.
And so he's walking through the house and catching all of her booby traps because the hammer gets her right in the stomach.
The hammer gets him right in the stomach.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he falls down the steps too.
Well, not yet because she locks him in the room
where
the hammer's right outside of it, and she goes and like bangs on the doors or opens the window and
she's
like yelling
the windows out.
Yeah, so she goes and opens the window or breaks out the windows and is yelling at the cops that are across the street at her ex-boyfriend's house. She's on the market, guys, because she's trying to get her dad to come help her because her dad like is just leaving her in a lurch, and she's like, I got him over here. I need some help. Do your fucking job.
And the other cop's like,
huh, that's weird.
This is really uncomfortable.
Yeah, maybe she's real bossy for a woman. Go get someone, you asshat.
Well, and he does say, maybe I should go tell the lieutenant.
He doesn't get someone until she goes downstairs, breaks out the front glass in the door, and then continues to yell.
And technically, Freddie goes in front of that window, too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. So now they believe.
But anyway, he does open the door. The hammer hits him in the stomach, and then he falls down the steps.
Right. And it reminded me a little bit of Scream when the killer has roller skates on.
He's definitely got
some roller
skates
on. Very slapsticky fighting. You know? And I like it. I don't mind it.
I didn't hate it at all.
But you can kind of see Wes Craven in the direction of both of these movies. Yeah.
But as the cops are lollygagging around, Freddy chases her down into the basement. She corners him, sets him on fire, and then runs up. And that's when the cops finally make it over.
Her dad finally decides to take any of this seriously.
After she set the bad guy on fire.
Exactly. Proving that she doesn't need him to protect her.
Right.
So they go down into the cellar and they see, and then they come back up and they see flaming footsteps going up the stairs.
Yeah, into the mom's room.
Right.
Yeah, and she's saying, oh, he's after mom. So she goes upstairs and she sees Freddie on fire on top of the mom fighting with her.
Yes.
And the dad throws a giant blanket on top
and puts them both out.
The fire out. Yep. And then they pull the blanket back and Freddie's gone, but it's the mom who's burned up.
Yeah.
Descending into this blue 80s hell bed.
I honestly thought she was going into heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not red. It's like blue and white and light. And she just like descends into it. Right. And then the bed is magically made again.
Yes.
And she's like kind of waving. She's like,
yeah.
Right.
And I really wanted the T2 thumbs up right there.
Yeah,
but
man.
Get it.
And it's one of those things where I think like in the 80s, you write it in a script and it sounds really cool and you just don't have the technology to pull it off.
And you shoot it on the day and you're like, doesn't look great.
Exactly. But we're going to go for it because, we spent a lot of money on it. And so Nancy's telling the dad now to go downstairs and she'll be okay.
And she turns her back and Freddie comes up out of the bed.
Out of the fitted sheet. And it's really cool. And it reminds me a lot of when he did the thing with the wall at the beginning.
It's very cool. Yeah. And he cuts through the fitted sheet and he kind of walks out and she turns her back on him and she's like,
she does.
I never loved you, Freddie.
I never wrote you every day for a year.
This is over.
Right. But what she does
it's
say.
It's not you. It's me, Freddie.
Yeah.
You've been werewolfed.
You've been,
But what she does say is, I take back every bit of energy I gave you, and you're nothing. And she won't look at him. She is looking at him when she says
that. She looks at him for that. And then she turns around and he falls and disintegrates into her butt.
I have heard this speech before.
Yeah, you have.
I take back all the energy I put into you.
Yeah.
And so she does. She takes her energy back and she puts her hand on the doorknob and he just explodes into 80s glitter.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any power anymore. This is the part of the movie that I really, really like. And I think it's a really empowering part.
I agree. I like Nancy. Yeah.
Yeah. Heather Langenkamp has talked about hearing from a lot of people who, like, whatever it was, if they were being bullied, or she said she got a lot of fans who were struggling with their sexuality and they took a lot of encouragement from that and saying, I'm afraid of you because I'm letting myself be afraid.
Yeah.
And if I take that power back, then I am in control of my power.
Anyone in your life who is abusing you or emotionally manipulating you or any sort of bullying or
daily gaslighting you.
Yeah. You can take that power back and not let them affect you.
Now, the problem with that, though, is there are things that you don't have control over. And if you turn your back and repress things and refuse to deal with them, that's not going to be helpful.
Sure.
You can't just ignore problems and have them.
Well, which I think this movie is a good metaphor for, because even when the mom puts the bars on the windows and tries to like lock up the house, like, well, we can just ignore this has ever happened and we pretend nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. We're safe in here. Nothing's wrong. But the nightmare comes from inside the house.
Because and she does face that fear then tell that fear it doesn't have any power over her life anymore.
Literally. She turns her back, but then she turns around and she says, "You have no power over me." So she's addressing it. And like, if you're looking at it as past trauma, if you just repress and ignore, it's going to haunt you. But when you look at it and you really start to accept it, that's when you can start to move forward.
Yeah.
That's the part of the ending that I love. After that, I don't know. So the next thing that happens is we walk out on the porch and it's overly bright. It's like a happy dream world.
And it's foggy.
Yeah. And the mom is saying, "Oh, I just decided I don't want to drink anymore," which
that's
not how it works.
Yeah.
And the friends who were all dead now drive up in Glenn's car with the top down. And so she says goodbye to the mom and she gets in the car. And then we notice that the
Freddy top comes up.
Exactly. And it's red and green striped. I don't know if you caught that, Mikey.
I did not, because I'm colorblind.
Oh.
Are you really?
No, I'm kidding. I got it.
I mean, red and green colorblind. Yeah. Anyways, and so the top is coming down and the kids are starting to panic because they're not doing it. And the windows are all going up and then the car gets driven away with them in it. And she's screaming for her mom. And then Freddie's arm comes out and pulls her back in. The mom.
And man, that looks bad.
It does kind of look bad. And I think it's an example of the 80s surreal effects that don't quite work.
That's fair.
Because it's about the same level of effect as the other stuff, and I'm not sure exactly why it doesn't work, but
probably because we're all pissed off it was happening.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what is this end?
Okay, here's the way that I see this end is that yes, Freddie may be gone, but she still has to live with the trauma of what happened.
Oh, so she still has nightmares, they just might not be
exact. That it's still gonna follow her, it's just not Freddie.
Here's what Todd's gonna say. That would be great if the movie showed me that, but that's not what it showed me.
Yep.
That's my biggest problem with it.
Uh-huh. And that's how I read it, and I like it. I don't love the ending of this. I also I'm not crazy about the gotcha stingers, because I think a lot of times they don't work very well. And Wes Craven didn't want to end the movie this way. He didn't really want to make it a franchise. He wanted to just end it.
But that's the movie.
And that's the movie.
Yeah, roll the credits.
Roll credits.
Now that we've talked about it, I really liked it. I liked it more than I think I like most of the movies we watch.
Yeah.
And I think it held up really well. I hated the little stinger. And if they took that out, I think it would have been probably the classic that everybody talks it up to be.
I really liked it, too. And one of the things I love about it is I think it's so creative. You know, like if you look at Halloween and Friday the 13th, not to knock them, but you've got one killer killing in basically the same way.
Yeah.
The kills start to get a little more inventive as it goes along, but it's not as believable as Freddy just does all these bizarre things, you know? And so that's one thing I really like about it. I think the kills are really interesting, but in a way that's believable to the movie. And I like this one because Freddy's not so wisecracking.
I do like that he's a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But he isn't like, and we have seen Freddy versus Jason.
Yes.
And he is very just one-liner driven there.
And he really, they start to lean into it as the series goes along. And I like how restrained it is here.
I mean, he's pretty menacing, child murdery, pedophile-y.
He is.
In this
one. And very sexual. And we see the seeds of that, but it doesn't come across as him doing his like stand up. Yeah.
He's not working on his tight five.
But by movie three, he's like, "I'm too over this shit."
Mm-hmm. Let's do box office. So what do you think the budget was for this movie, guys?
$3 million.
$2 million.
You're closest, Jen. It was $1.8 million.
No, but I went over.
Yeah. So you both lose. It eventually went on to make $25.5 million.
Nice.
Pretty
so
good.
Really, really good money.
And now, is that when it was in theaters? Number?
Yeah, okay. I'm sure it's made a lot more money than that. But when it came out originally, it did not do very well in its opening weekend. It was 10th in its opening weekend. Beaten by The Terminator, Amadeus, and another movie we've done, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah, listen to that episode if you want to hear Todd's heart almost explode.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say it's a sleeper hit?
Yeah, it definitely was a sleeper hit for sure.
Nice.
It actually did better in its second week out. It went from 10th to 7th. Yeah.
Like word of mouth kind of thing?
Yeah, it must have been word of mouth. Yeah, because it did much, much better in its second and even third week out. All right, so let's do some Jen fun facts.
Jen's fun facts.
Nailed it.
Okay. So this was inspired by a couple of things. There were some articles written about some refugees, but they were apparently having really bad nightmares and refused to sleep and were trying to stay up as long as they could. And then when they finally did fall asleep, they died in their sleep.
What?
Yeah, I'll try to link some facts about that because I'm not exactly clear on what the story was. But that was one of his inspirations.
Okay.
When he was a kid, he was looking out his window and he saw an elderly drunk walking past him on the sidewalk. And he also was bullied by a kid named Fred Krueger in elementary school.
Oh, ultimate payback.
Right, exactly. And the song Dreamweaver.
Yeah.
All of those things came together in a big mishmash. And that's where this idea was born.
Oh, wow. You mean cocaine?
Yeah. Well, it was the 80s.
So, Freddy Krueger was originally supposed to be a child molester, and that was what was written in the script. And in the movie, he's just a child murderer. And the reason they changed that is, did you guys hear about the satanic panic in the 80s?
Yeah.
And there were all these kids that were at this daycare, and they were interviewing them and like coercing them into saying they had been assaulted at their daycare.
Yeah.
That trial was going on at the same time that this movie was being filmed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And the studio was like, let's not look like we're exploiting this. And so we just changed it to a child murderer because that's way better.
Yeah.
Like,
they downgraded to child murderer.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, he could have still done bad things before he killed him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I learned anything from the show Mindhunter, he was also a molester.
Yeah.
That show's so good.
It is so good.
So this was the studio New Line's first commercial success, and it's actually known as the house that Freddie built. Yeah, it took a while for them to find somebody to distribute it, and New Line kind of took a chance on it. And it worked out really well for them.
It absolutely did. They made quite a bit of money on this.
Right, yeah. And it's a gigantic franchise, and he's like an icon. Okay, so Johnny Depp, this was his first major role, and he gets like the introducing Johnny Depp credit scene. It doesn't explode, but there is cool stuff going on when it happens. So
yeah, the movie's going on.
Yeah, it's cool.
Exactly. But he just kind of tagged along to this audition with his friend, Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh.
Who ended up playing Freddy in the remake.
Rorschach from Watchmen.
Yeah. And so Jackie Earle Haley didn't get the part, but Johnny Depp did.
That's awesome.
I know.
Okay.
And the same thing happened with Matthew Lillard, though. He just went along with his girlfriend's audition and ended up getting cast as Stu. All right. So considered for the role of Glenn, Nicolas Cage, Kiefer Sutherland, and I know that this is true, Charlie Sheen, but he wanted too much money for it.
Yeah.
And they didn't have enough money. I think like $10,000 a week or something. Rumored other actresses considered for Nancy were Demi Moore, Courtney Cox, Tracy Gold, and Jennifer Grey.
So that's like all of who was super hot in the 80s.
Exactly.
On both the male and female side.
Right,
yeah.
Like in that age range. Yeah.
They're like, you know what? That's too expensive.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm really glad that the two people that got cast because I think they're great in this movie.
They're fine,
they're not like wonderful actors, but I think they're great.
Well,
for
one
the movie
goes further in their career than the other.
Well, the girl has had a successful career behind the camera. Yeah.
Right.
She's done a lot of great stuff behind the camera.
Yeah. Heather Langenkamp co-owns a special effects studio, and she did the special effects for Dawn of the Dead remake and some other stuff. I'll try to link it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool. And she's like a beloved horror icon, too. So the high school that they filmed this in is the same high school where they shot Grease and Pretty in Pink.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So some of the special effects in this movie, the bathtub scene, you said at first like, oh, she's standing up in that bathtub.
She was standing up. You could tell.
She may have been. Yeah. At that point. So it was an 8-foot deep tub just with a bathtub on top. And the part where you can see her knees, she floated up to the top.
Yeah.
So she's not standing up then, but she probably was standing up before.
Yeah.
And the part with the stairs where her feet are sinking through the stairs, that was pancake mix.
Oh, gross.
But effective.
Yeah.
And the part where Freddy's face is coming through the wall, that was just white spandex.
Really?
Yeah, that they just picked up at a fabric store.
Awesome.
I know. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Cool.
That's
another
example of practical effects really paying off.
Yeah.
All right. So the actor who played Rod apparently had kind of a troubled past, and he had some substance abuse issues. And he has said that he was high on heroin during the scene in the jail cell.
Really?
Yikes. Yeah.
So Freddy Krueger's makeup took 3.5 hours to put on.
Every time?
Yeah, every time. And he's given interviews where he's talked about seeing Johnny Depp and Heather Langenkamp in the chairs next to him, just getting their like normal kid makeup put on, and how he was getting so angry that he would have to put all of that makeup on him, and it was so uncomfortable and painful. And that's like the anger that he used in his performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was really mad.
He's like, I hate these kids.
Exactly. And lots of times when he, when you see him standing, he's standing kind of with one of his shoulders down, and that's because the glove was really heavy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He also, like, kind of studied power move, like, body language, and he would stand with his feet really wide a lot of times.
Yeah.
I've heard that Robert Englund is just the nicest person.
Yeah, I've heard that, too.
Yeah, from Nathan,
yeah,
too.
Nathan said that in the interview that we did with him. Yeah.
Yeah, and those are my fun facts.
Awesome. Thank you for your fun facts, Jen.
Well, you're very welcome.
So let's do that scary scale, Jen.
Hey, listeners. Our scary scale is a scale we use to rate how scared we were by this movie. It's not a ranking of the quality of the film. It's how scared we were today when we watched it. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All right, Todd?
I might give it a 3. Yeah, I gagged a few times. It was pretty gross. It wasn't super scary, though. Like, I do think most horror virgins can watch this and be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the creative element kind of takes the scare down
a
little bit.
Although, I will say, I'm a little anxious to see what it'll be like when I try and go to sleep tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Because it might stick with me a little bit.
You can text me.
Let's do this.
Aw, right. You should just not go to sleep. Do you have a Mr. Coffee under your bed?
I'll put my tongue through the phone.
Mikey, how do you feel about it?
I'm going to give it a 2.
Right.
Mainly because I was really worried about people's feet a lot. They were going to either stub their toes or scrape their feet or they get mud on them and stuff. It really creeped me out.
You were really concerned about people's feet.
The foot fear factor is high in this movie.
They're sprinting on cement. There's ledges and stuff. Like toenails could have got ripped off. It just really bugged me.
It's a bad situation all around.
I like that you said cement.
I know.
I like it. Yeah. All right,
we almost jumped on top of your mispronunciation.
All right, Jen, what you got?
I think I'm going to give it a 2. It's not super scary, but some of the deaths are really disturbing, especially when you consider that they're kids and that their parents are also in the movie.
But
I really enjoyed it, and I like how creative the kills are. It just is sad because it's effective, you know. And that's our scary scale.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, guys, we want to know what you think, too. People haven't been posting scary scale in a while, so let us know.
Oh, yeah. Guys, if you want to share what your scary scale is, go to the Facebook group or just tag us in a post on Twitter or whatever.
Right.
We'd love to know what you think about
it. Yeah, if you don't, I'll come over to your house and beat you up. With kindness.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Horror Virgin Todd here breaking in because when we recorded this episode of Nightmare on Elm Street, we did not yet know what movie was going to win our listener request for November. The theme was family horror, and you guys submitted a lot of terrifying movies for me to watch, but you guys whittled it down to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So you guys are literally making me watch the level 10 example on our scary scale. So thanks so much, guys. So make sure you watch it as well to prepare for next week's episode. I'm going to return you now to the pod already in progress.
This podcast review comes from Glow Planet. The title is, "This podcast makes me as happy as Gage flying a kite."
Oh, Pet Sematary? Does he fly a kite?
I don't get that.
Briefly, that's what he's doing when he gets smashed with the truck.
In the book?
Yeah. Okay. In the original movie. Hey, look both ways, Glow Planet.
All right, I'll say this.
You'll read.
I'll read this.
And say it, too.
Thanks for injecting some fun in my life as I navigate around and over the Nashville drivers each morning. Okay.
Mm. Wait, did he just admit to running over people?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Okay. All right.
All right.
He did make a Gage reference.
Yeah, there you go.
I love Jen Stephen King love, Mikey's humor, and Todd's terror.
Ugh.
Thanks to Mikey's brother for letting me know about the podcast.
Thanks, Mikey's brother.
Youngest brother Will, I bet.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for that 5-star review. And if you guys would like us to read your 5-star review, leave us a 5-star review. That's how that works.
It's just that simple.
Yeah, leave an accent. I'll do it in an accent. Bless you.
Sorry. So, guys, we are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network, which means if you're listening to us in their feed, you're getting the podcast on Wednesdays. But if you listen to the podcast in our feed, you'll get it 2 days earlier on Monday. But in their feed, you're also going to get Death, Dying, and Other Things, the Modern Horrors Podcast, and the lovely Final Girls. If you want to reach out to us on social, we are at Horror Virgin. Mikey is at MRandolph24. Jen is at Jen Ferratu. And I am at Todd J. Awesome. The show account is, of course, at Horror Virgin. The website is horrorvirgin.com.
It's just that simple.
Yeah, where you can get the blog, you can get links to the merch store, all that kind of stuff. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/horrorvirgin. If you skipped all the crazy ads at the beginning, that's what that's from. There's also a lot other great levels there.
Yeah.
You can help sign up and get us new gear. We really appreciate it. But if you can't help financially support the show, just continue doing what you're doing, and that's telling your friends, family, and coworkers about the show. It's really helping. Record numbers month after month. You guys, thank you so much for that.
Yes, thank you so much. So that's going to be it from us tonight, guys.
Yeah.
We are so sleepy. We haven't slept in 8 days.
Oh, God.
We're all out of Mr. Coffee machines. I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror virgin Todd, guys.
Have an amazing week.
Bye.
Sweet dreams, guys.
Oh my God, I'm so tired.
I am too, man.
Sleepy nerds.
Sleeper.
Oh my God. I wonder if Tina fucked that goat.